Thanks for inviting me to speak tonight. I know many of you didn't, but thank you, Jonathan, inviting me to speak tonight. If those who don't know me, I'm Mark, and I've got a wife, Amanda, and my daughter, Rebecca, age 10, and I've got another daughter, Jessica, age 8. We moved to Somerset about a year and a half ago, up 2.5 years ago, just to be near my wife's grandparents, just about to support them from Essex. So we're not quite like Towie, who anyway is Essex. And but it's been my pleasure just really about to speak. I've just rewritten this afternoon what I was going to do. It's the same thing, but in a different way. I just feel it's just a challenge to me as anyone else. It's funny, when I was doing what I'm going to be speaking about is about giving and finances. When I was sort of looking at it and studying it, I realised what I believe wasn't perhaps quite right. So I've actually been challenged in my own way of thinking, and some of the things I perhaps would have taught you tonight, I'm not going to do now. So we'll start from here. God's been challenging me in the last, I don't know, 5-6 months about being God says about us being a living sacrifice, and our lives are a living sacrifice. He's been challenging me on that in different ways. There's many ways that God can challenge us. We like living sacrifices, constantly got to get on the altar. Constantly get on the altar, and I keep climbing off to be comfortable. But I think sometimes God puts us in makes us make uncomfortable decisions and uncomfortable choices. And a while back, I felt God was challenging me to just spend some time just fasting, not eating, just for 3 days. And it was quite a hard challenge. I did it out of obedience. And God just started giving me a hunger for Him in a way I hadn't had before. And I started getting excited about the Holy Spirit and who the Holy Spirit was, and saying, God, show me who the Holy Spirit is. And He started showing me. And then I felt God was saying to ask God who Jesus was. So I started asking God who Jesus was. And prior to that, I found reading the Bible very stuffy. I'm not a great reader anyway. I don't read lots of books. But I thought, well, the thing the Christian's supposed to do is read his Bible every day. But I was doing it out of duty, that's what Christians do. But I started to have freedom in that. God started showing me things about Jesus, and then God started showing me about who the Father was in His Word. I must admit, I've gone a bit stale more recently. I need to get back to that place again. That was one thing God was asking me, just challenging me on, was I willing to give up food for Him? And I just feel God is constantly asking me, am I willing to give up certain things for Him? The way I think, giving up my pride, putting others first, just giving up my time. And God's just challenging me about being a living sacrifice, living sacrifice. Are we living sacrifices daily, weekly, monthly? Just saying, God, I've been bought at a price. I'm not my own. You've bought me. I'm yours, really. But He lets us live our lives. But coming back to that place of sacrifice. And so the subject today, really, being living sacrifice, is about finances. And Kudan, would you be willing to come and read the scripture for us tonight? Thank you.
The reading, I thought you'd probably given it to me just for me. I was in another church this morning with exactly the same reading.
Wow.
Coincidence, does anybody believe? So it's from Luke chapter 12, if you'd like to follow. Luke chapter 12, and starting at verse 22. And Jesus said to His disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn. And yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfading treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
It's a very powerful passage, isn't it, really? Just talking about God knows about us, God cares about us, and that God provides for us. And it's just a real, do we live in that? Do we worry? Do you worry about everyday finances? Do you worry about your health? Do you worry about family? Do you worry about your children? And God cares about us, and he cares about those things, and he is for us. There's a story in the Bible about the rich young ruler, and he said to Jesus, "What shall I do to follow you?" And Jesus says, "Sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me." And the rich young ruler sort of said, "Well, I can't do that." But when I was about 16, 17, God gave me that challenge. Some of you may have heard me say that before. Like, would I be willing to give up, like that man, all I had? Well, I didn't have a lot. 17 years old, I had a push bike, maybe a badminton racket and a few things. But I didn't have a lot. But God was more challenging me. Was I willing to give up what I wanted in life? I wanted a beautiful wife. I wanted kids. I wanted a house. I wanted a good job. I wanted to have security. That's what I wanted, but I, at the time I said, okay, God, I'm willing to give up what I really, really want. Cut long story short, that God called me to go and work for a Christian organisation called Youth of a Mission for 7 years. In that place, I had to really trust God for my finances. It was a real learning process and a real teaching process. And I just want to tell you just a few little stories about what God did, really, that God's provision both then. Well, for a start, like my granddad, he was a Christian. He wouldn't understand what hearing God's voice is. He knew God, he loved God, and he used to send me money every now and again. He had money. He wasn't really, really rich, but he had a good pension and that. What he didn't realise was the money he sent me came on pretty much the exact day I needed it. And so he was actually being prompted by God's Spirit to send me money when I needed it. And that, for me, I just thought it was exciting that he, not knowing it, was hearing from God. And I feel God, you're calling me to go, the organisation said you need to be sort of sent out from a church. Well, it's two things. One, I was going to go and change to another church prior to that because there weren't any girls in my church, and there was another church nearby that had lots of girls in it. I thought, yeah, I might go there. But I felt God say, stay at your church. And then when I told the church that I wanted to go and go into missions, they were, at that time, God was sat telling the leadership they wanted to look at sending someone out from the church into missions. So again, I was obedient to what God said, and he had a plan for me, and he had something for me. The interesting thing was, when I was in Scotland, actually it wasn't in Scotland, when I came back from Scotland for a visit, I met a girl from another church, and she also went to YWAM, but she didn't get supported by them. So I'm thinking, that would have been the church I'd have gone to. They might have supported me, I don't know, but it just is interesting that God showed me, there you go, he was obedient to what I told you to do, you stay where you should be, and I provided for you in the way that I could. His finances were tough, and things, it wasn't easy. Like, I didn't get a lot of money support from my church, but God saw me through. And I know there was one phase where it just seemed to be a constant battle, just didn't have enough money. I just had enough to do the bare essentials, but I couldn't go out perhaps to go and have a coffee or things like that. At that point, I felt God say to me to fast. And he said, you fast food until you get, I think it was £10 or £15 given to you. Then you'll then have a breakthrough. So I started fasting. One day, 2 days, kept looking at my bank account, nothing in there, nothing in there, nothing in there. 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days. Oh, there's £10 in there, but I felt God say £15. I still can't eat. Okay, this went on for 10 days, and on the 10th day, I got money put in my bank account. And I can honestly say from that day on, something happened in my finances. God provided not just for my needs, but for more, for my wants as well. Because he cares for me. He wants me to go and have fun and go and have a game of badminton and things like that. I know, even things like, I remember I used to play badminton on the Monday night. I suddenly realised I needed £1.50 to go and play, and I didn't have £1.50. I had a pound, and I just felt, go anyway. And I put my hand in my pocket, it's 50p in my pocket, in my shorts pocket for my badminton shorts. And so I had £1.50. And God, just something as simple as that God provided, just something really, really small, because God cared for me and he still cares for me. I had to go on outreach. and I was praying for finances, and I brought someone's van, and it got locked in a car park. It's a church car park I parked, and I was being cheeky and using their car park, and they for free parking, and they locked me in. I was really frustrated. I was in a hurry, so I managed to get someone to let me out. And this guy let me out, and he said, "God's told me you'd be this," and he gave me a check for £200 or something like something that sort of amount. I can't remember the exact amount, but and God was just in that. Even though I thought I'd been locked in the car park, it wasn't what I wanted, but God had His plan and made me meet up with this guy, and He provided for me in an amazing, amazing way. I've just got loads and loads of stories that I had. I was part of a team, discipleship training team, and I ended up, by default, having to cook for about 12, 14 people for a year. I was supposed to do one day a week, and the girl turned up who was a cook, or didn't turn up, she just didn't turn up. So I ended up having to cook for a year. And I had this budget, and believe it or not, the budget was £1.30 a day. This is going back to 1990. £1.30 a day to feed each person, sort of, that's breakfast, lunch and tea, plus bin bags and cleaning stuff. And so I'd blown our budget. I'd definitely blown our budget. My leader said, "You've blown the budget, like you've got to really cut back." And so I didn't know what to do. So I went down the supermarket and I started putting things in the trolley. I was trying to be careful, but I just kept putting things in. And I was at the till and the lady came up to me and said, "Can I pay for your shopping for you, please?" So I said, "Oh." And so I didn't know who she was, and she says, I know you. She said, "When we had March for Jesus, you did the PA for us." And she said, "And you're in Wyram, aren't you?" And she says, "And I want to bless Wyram." So she paid for my shopping for me, which was really amazing. And the thing that was amazing again was, at a later point, she was a teacher in a school. She asked Wyram if they could send a team into the school to help them with their Christian union, and they asked our team to go in. So God blessed her at a later point for blessing us. It's just amazing how God does things, how about being obedient, how God does these things. And it's not just stories right back then, it's stories now that, like our Hoover's dying, very badly dying. Even yesterday it was really stinking when it had it on. We said we need to perhaps buy one, and so Amanda said to me, "What if we just ask God if He'd give us one rather than just buy one?" So I said, "Okay." So, and that night her sister phoned up and said her husband wanted to buy us a Hoover. So, and it wasn't just a Hoover, we wanted to buy us a nice Dyson Hoover. We haven't actually got back to them yet, so we sort of think, well, perhaps that is what God wants, and they'll probably just buy it anyway, knowing them. They're very kind. But it's just things like that. We just thought, well, let's just hold on a minute, just ask God if He wants to give us a Hoover. Because it's just something Amanda had been reading, a book, and about asking God. Because God does want to bless us and does want to give us good things. But on the other hand, it's not us being materialistic. I know in my heart that I can be very materialistic. I know I've had it before. I've thought, if I had £1 million, what would I do with it? And I start off being quite generous, and then I start clawing back. No, I'd rather spend that on this. And I end up spending more of it on me than I would on other people, because I think that's just the nature of our hearts. That's the nature of who we are. And about how God cares for us, that we, say, 2.5 years ago, we went to visit my wife's grandparents here in Holcombe. Amanda just said, "I wish I could be near them. Wish I could be sort of be able to support them more and whatever, and spend time with them, because I don't know how much longer they're going to be left for." So, and I just asked my company, because I'm a national company, I like to do security, CCTV, fire alarms, access control, that type of thing. And so I said, "Any chance I could transfer to this area?" They said, "Yeah, there's a job just turned up. A guy, he's working in this area. He's been living with his girlfriend. She's kicked him out. He's been living in a hotel for a month. It's not going to be sorted out. So he's going to move back to Essex to live with his family." And he said, "But you've got 8 weeks to get here," which was a big challenge to get here in 8 weeks. But we did it in about 9. But we had to repaint our house in Essex pretty much all the way through, put a new bathroom in while working. We had to find school for children. We had to find a house to live here. And we found a lovely little house, a little terrace house in Colford. It's got a lovely back garden onto fields, which is what we wanted. Amanda's now keeping chickens, which she really wanted to do. We've got great neighbours, and it didn't cost us a lot either on rent. And we managed to rent our house out very, very easily. Amanda got a job here. In fact, she'd given 3 jobs in the school the girls go to. It's just been just amazing how God has opened doors, opened doors, opened doors. One is because I think Amanda was really willing to sort of care for her grandparents. And I think because of that God opened the doors as well. And I believe that God wanted us here as well. I think God wanted to do some work in my life. I think He wanted me to take me out of that environment, to be in a new environment, to be more open and honest and be open about who I was. And God is starting to do that. God cares about me and He cares about you. And it's not just finances. He cares about what's inside. And I know being here in this church that God is giving me people who I don't know, just There's something about the people here that I feel that I can be honest with and I can trust. I had great friends back in my previous church, but there's something here about you guys particularly. I know that I can share things on my heart, share who I am, and it will stay with you and it won't get out, sort of thing. So it's not I'm a murderer or anything like that. But it's just, we've all got our skeletons in our closets, haven't we? But the thing is, the rich young ruler, Jesus didn't want his money really. He wanted to see what was in his heart. What was there? What motivated him? Was it money? Was it love for money? Was it fear of not having enough? Or was it a passion for Jesus and a passion for God, for reach for the people around him? He didn't need his money. He just wanted to see where his heart was. It says in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, there'll be treasure in heaven. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's really seeing, where is our treasure? If our financial treasure is in our banks, in our houses, in our property, if that's what... I know, I'll be honest, that I constantly think about my future. I'm getting on a bit now. And sort of, how can I make more money for my future? Like, we've invested a little bit in property. And Amanda says, yeah, we can give that away so the girls can have something when they get older because it's going to be hard for them to get a house. I'm thinking, that's my retirement. And I'll be honest, sometimes... we might be out with friends and are offered to buy the meal or this and that. And something inside, it's like a wrench sometimes. I'm thinking, oh, I hope I've got enough. But I want to be in that place where I can just give. And God is challenging me on being generous. And like real recently, I've been just giving and saying, God, I trust you. And God has been faithful that we haven't gone overdrawn. We've made some real messes in our finances in my marriage. And we've gotten some quite... bad financial scrapes, and we've gone into a lot of debt. I've been self-employed before, and we got in a bit of a mess then. We did have a property before, and we had some tenants that didn't pay, so we was paying two mortgages for a good number of months, and it got us in a bit of a mess, really. But anyway, God has been good. He's got us out of it. We've never gone bankrupt, but he's just been faithful to us. Just recently, we just seem to have had a lot of expenses, though the enemy's trying to rob us, but we've just been standing up against that, like Amanda's car. Probably spent about £3,000 in her car in lots of different things, like the clutch went, power steering went, the DPF, diesel particulate filter went, and we keep thinking, is it worth spending more money on it? And we've had to keep spending out. But the thing is, God had provided. We don't know quite how we've managed to find another £3,000 in the year, but we have. And also, I'm not an awful driver, but I went in the back of someone. I only sort of touched the back of their bumper. I didn't think I damaged it. Then he phoned me up and said, I'd cracked it. And he wanted to go for insurance and everything. And my vehicle was a company vehicle, and I got to pay the first £1,000 of an accident. So I ended up having to find £400 to give to him. And another guy in Froome, I just caught his parked car, and I found where he lived and told him I just dented your bumper slightly. And so he was trying to forced me into giving him money. Like, his car wasn't worth £400, but ended up giving him £400 for his car. But again, we didn't have that money, and we did get a gift from someone. But God, in some ways, it was hard even to go and knock on that guy's door, because I thought, I'm going to have to pay for this. I haven't got the money. And I could have easily driven off, and I could easily have not done the right thing. But I did the right thing, and God came through and provided for us. So our finances are a snare to you. Is it painful to give? I know it hurts inside for me sometimes. When I came out of YWAM, I sort of thought, well, now what am I going to do? I'm in the real world again. I've got to get a job. When I left school, I did an apprenticeship at British Telecom. In building engineering services, I did electrical and plumbing work, like looking after buildings, nothing to do with telephones. But that was 7 years prior. I was stupid. I didn't work at college properly. I didn't get the proper exams I could have got. And I just thought, God, how you can provide. But God has miraculously given me the wonderful wife I wanted, kids that I wanted. I've got a decent job. It's maybe not the job I really want to do, but it pays the bills, and it's allowed me to be here, and we're believing God may do something different the next year to come. But God is caring for us. God is looking after us, and God cares for you guys. The question, do you fear about finances? Do you fear that if you give more away, you wouldn't have enough come back? Do you fear, or do you not actually believe that God is your provider? It's just, you provide for yourself because you've got a job. I know every job I've got generally is because I've known someone who's got me the job. It's just through connections that God has opened the door for me. But do you, just a question really at the moment, do you know that God is your provider? Or are you the provider? Do you feel you're the provider? Because I know I've had to try and make a shift in my way of thinking, that I think I provide for my family, but no, God provides for my family. God is the one who's given me jobs. God is giving me the one who gives me opportunities. Even when I worked for myself for 7 years, I don't know how it happened, but work would just come in. Work would come in when it's going to run out. More work would come in. And God was faithful in that. But God is our provider. God is your provider. He cares for you more than he cares for those birds. He cares for you more than the flowers. And he wants to clothe you, and he wants to provide for you. And he won't let you see you starve. He won't let you go without. Today was just in January, and I had a birthday card from my daughter. She gave me £5. And for me, I don't know, I'm crying. But for me, I didn't need her £5. I didn't need her £5. But she gave it to me because she loved me, didn't you? And was it hard to give it to me? Yeah, she said to me. She said to me she actually wanted to take it back. But she. But to me, her £5 meant so much to me that she didn't have to put £5 in the card. But it really touched me. And God spoke to me through that, saying, Mark, your little amount of money you can give me, I don't really need it. I want to see your heart is. Do you want to hold on to your money? Do you want to hold on to your finances? Do you want to hold on to stuff? Or do you want to give it to see people blessed, to see things change, and to see me provide for you? Because it's so exciting, because we had a mission trip once, and we had to go to Hong Kong on outreach, and I wasn't really that keen to go, to be honest, but it was part of the team I was on. And we had to find £700 or something to go. And I was praying about it, and I just felt God say, you're going to be given some money, and the amount you're given, you've got to give twice as much away. So I thought, okay. Then that night, one of the girls in our team gave me £170. I thought, oh my goodness, like that's kind of it. But now I've got to find two times 170, which is £340. Well, a bit later on, the guy from my church phoned up and said he was sending some money to me. And then a few days later, a check came through the post, or money came through the post, and it was twice £170, £340. And for me, I was so excited, I'd heard God. That was the most exciting thing. I'd heard God, that he'd give me £340 towards my outreach. And I can't remember who I gave it away to, and I can't remember how all the money came in the end, but it's just more that I was listening to God, and God cared for me, and God provided what I needed. And God, it's so exciting when you hear God's voice and God speaking to you, and that was so exciting for me. Can we do question number three and get into pairs? In Luke chapter 12, you've got your Bibles, Jesus said in verse 33, it says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure is in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor does moth destroy. So that's Luke 12, verse 33. Just want you to get into pairs and just see, what do you think that means? If you haven't got time to actually get all your answers, but I will, if you want to come and chat to me at the end. I don't actually know what the answer is myself, but it's something I've been reading and thinking about, and think we need to perhaps think about. And I don't know how many people find it easy to give. I don't know how many people do give or don't give. I know, obviously, the other day I heard Dave asking at the church, from the front of the church, that our finances are low, and it did concern me as a church that if our finances are low. And I come from a church before I came here that we're probably about a quarter to a third of the size of this church, but our income was similar to what your income is in this church. And so, and our congregation were a lot of single mums, a lot of women, not many men, not many whole families. So, and I was thinking, if that's how our church could give, how much more could this church give? And I'm only asking really partly out of, for you, for exciting stories. I want you to have exciting stories about how you've given over and above, and how you've given to, like, obviously, number one, the church needs input. I was going to talk about tithing, but since I've been thinking about it, I don't actually know whether tithing is a New Testament principle. But I do believe that it's a good place to start, that we don't live under the law of tithing, but we live under this new law. Jesus says about being generous and loving those around you. I'll just read something quickly here. It says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put them at the apostles' feet, and it's distributed to anyone as he had need. I said, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, that's Barnabas, that is, oh yeah, whom the apostles call Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And so that it's talking, it's obviously that's the early church, and that's the example, I think, that God was asking us to be. Are we willing to give up our land, give up some of our stuff we've got, be willing to give it away for a better cause? That I listen to Premier Radio a lot when I'm driving, and I'm constantly hearing that every minute 6 children die of starvation in this world. And that's horrendous, that 6 children die of starvation. And for £4, you can feed a child for a month. For £4, if you send money to Feed the Hungry, and Tear Fund do something very similar, I'm sure there are other organisations as well out there, that we, just that small amount of money, we can save children's lives. And that it's been a challenge to me, that how I think about getting nice stuff and often thinking about on the internet, what I could buy on the internet. I've got a bit of spare money this month. And what comes to the forefront of my mind sometimes is, what can I get for me? Rather than what can I give to someone else? And I'm just challenging you as a church. I'm challenging myself. I'm not perfect in this, no way. Don't get me wrong. It's a constant battle with me. I do have fear of finances. Even though I'll tell these stories, what God's done, I still struggle with fear. I still struggle I won't have enough. I still struggle how to provide for a family. It was easy to be a missionary as a single person, and I could go without food, whatever. I could go with minimal clothes, whatever. But when the children need stuff for school and school trips and this and that, and I haven't got the money to give them, and that's difficult. God, praise God, He has always provided, and I'm not saying, and we're not desperate for money, so please don't, if we need to give us money. But God has been faithful to us, and for you, I'm just saying, challenging you, that for me, for years and years, I've believed in the tithe, and I've always given 10% of my wages to the church, and that's 10% before tax, because I believe it's all my whole wage, but it's up to you what you do, how you do it. So I would challenge you, if you can do it, to give a minimum of 10% to the church, and then it says tithes and offerings it talked about, and then obviously offerings to other organisations, people around you, and even people in the church. If you see someone who might be a single person on their own, or may have had sickness in the family, haven't been able to work or whatever, pray and say, God, is there something I can give them? Or if you have something of value, like I've been given cars before. I sold a car when I was in missions, because I needed the money for missions. And then I've been provided 2 cars since. People just given me a car. One was a pretty good one wasn't. Well, it was great. I can't complain. It was a free car, and they paid for getting it for MRT and all those sort of things. So if you've got cars or bikes or anything, that just be open and say, God, is there anything I've got, any possession I've got? And if Dave's listening, if he wants to give me his amplifier and speakers, no. But if it's something of value, like Dave was talking about his amplifier the other week, how it was a prized possession for him. For us, if there's anything you've got that you're hanging on to that's important, it may be you've got to downsize in a house, maybe you've got to downsize in a car, or I don't know. But just be open to God and say, God, I'm willing. These are not my finances, they're yours. We're here on earth. He provides for us, He gives us everything, but He's saying, what are you going to do with it? Where is your treasure? Do you trust me? I can provide for you. That's my challenge today. I just want just a couple of minutes for us to think, and then I'll give it just time we can just pray together. If there's someone here who says, well, look, I haven't got enough money to hardly live on. How can I give 10% of my money? Well, I'm not saying you should, but if you give £10 away, start with £10 and trust God in that, and then ask God just to show you what else you should give. And I know that often I've thought, I can't give this month, but we always could. We always could. Zara's a cheerful giver. He wants you to give cheerfully. Another story about Becky, I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but I talked to the girls a week or so about this because I thought, I'm teaching the church. I need to talk to my children about it again. And I talked about their money they got for Christmas and birthdays and about giving. And Becky couldn't wait to give her money to church. Couldn't wait to go to church to give her money. She just showed me that cheerfulness. And I sometimes give out of just routine. But she could not wait to go and give that money. And it would be great if we as a church just could not wait to get to church to give. Or get to that organisation and give to that organisation. Father, I just thank you. You are an amazing provider. God, I just thank you that we all live here pretty comfortably. We all may struggle. But God, when we hear about these people who in refugee camps, God, with no home, no hope, no place to go sometimes, God. Father, and people in countries that are just famine, God, and God, we've got so much.
God, we live in a world with so much, and we want to thank you, God, that you have put us in this country. We're so blessed with that. But God, that does come with a responsibility. And I just ask, God, that you'd show me, God, I'm almost fearful of what you might challenge me to do. But God, I trust you. I trust you, God, with my finances. And God, I just ask, God, for us, God, that we would see you. God, I want to hear amazing stories from these guys, hear what you've done. God, how you've released them, how you've done new things in their lives. Father, I just want to say thank you, God, for your blessings, your many blessings, God. I want to say thank you. Let's just say thank you to God, all of us together. Thank you, God, for your amazing blessing to us. I want to say thank you, God. Let's praise God. Thank you, God, you provide for us. God, I thank you, God, you give us houses. God, you give us homes. God, you've given us safety. God, I thank you, God, for what you've given us. God, I thank you for we have education, we have schools, God. I thank you that we have a police force that looks after us, an army that looks after us. God, I thank you we have health care. God, I thank you, God, that we have politicians that are fairly not corrupt. God, I thank you, God, that we have an amazing country, we have an amazing God. Father, I just thank you that we're not persecuted. Thank you. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, God, you're such an amazing God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone would like some prayer, just if they... on this, if they feel they've got a battle with finances, or if they just feel challenged and want someone to pray with them, or they feel at the moment they're really struggling with finances, they just want someone to stand with them, have a breakthrough. If you want prayer, please come forward, and I'm willing to pray, and I'm sure the other guys here are willing to pray. But if it's something you want to, or if you want to talk to me about what I've said, or if you feel I'm wrong, come and tell me. We're here just to really help you to go forward, really.